This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the OG John Lopez, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham in for Landry Locke. Hey, man, my first time. James Ahedebo is sitting in with us as well. Tua Tagovailoa's got a decision to make, guys. He dislocated his hip. Everybody anticipated him to be one of the top quarterbacks taken in the draft before that happened. The question that he is trying to deliberate now, a business decision he calls it, should he come out into the NFL this year? Should he use that year of eligibility, stay at Alabama, try to rebuild that draft stock? What do you think for the Alabama quarterback?
I think I want to get you guys' opinions on this. Mine is you're never going to get this money back from this year. If he goes pro right now, even if he's an early second-round pick, he is a quarterback. So he'll get paid in that slot. He'll make some money. He'll have in the second round be better for him because he'll have a shorter window of number of years that the team will have control. And what I mean is, like if he sits out a year, goes back to Alabama, even if it's just $13 million, let's say, or for this year, the bonus would probably tell me, what would the bonus be like?
Depends on how high you get picked.
First or second pick in the second round. Let's say he gets a quarterback, $5 million bonus and $1.9 million. I'm lowballing. That's $7 million he's never going to get back. So my point is very financially driven. If I'm his dad, I'm saying, look, you're not going to be a first round pick. You may be, you know, you might get lucky and be a first round pick, but you're going to have $6 or $7 million on the front end of your professional career that you will never have again. So I'm saying take the money when you can and then add with your and then bet on yourself and add a $100 million contract 4 years in. You know what I mean?
I hear that, but if I'm talking to two, I'm gonna tell them this. What you need to do is go get your Lords of London policy, take that insurance out on yourself, go back to Alabama, play your senior season, win a national championship, and become the number two pick of the draft overall. At worst, yeah. Because it'll be Trevor Lawrence and him, and those will be the two quarterbacks taken off the board. And so the amount of money that you would make if you wait would be so much more than – because this year he's not going to –
There's one problem with that.
What's that?
I don't think Lloyd's of London would insure him now.
You don't think they would?
It'd have to be a waiver clause, yes, with that hip.
In other words, will insure you, but if anything goes on with the hip,
we're
out the window.
Well, money's out the window.
But see, my thing with the hip is, though, you don't think to yourself, all right, I'm going to get hurt with this specific injury again.
My point is, you guys are forgetting, you know, the ace in the hole here. Nick Saban's going to go out and get him a 5-star quarterback just in case. So for Tua to think
already has one.
So to Tua to think that, hey, I'm coming back from my injury and I'm just going to have, you know, my starting job at Alabama. Well, what happened to Jalen Hurst? The second there was a little bit of a rumbling, hey, we're putting in our other guy, and that's how we all heard about
Tua.
So if you're asking me, I'm looking at the business side of the thing and I'm saying, hey, let me take my money and I'll perform well enough. Your rookie deal in the NFL sucks anyway. Yeah. You know, so
you're the number two pick in the draft.
But
though,
I think you might as well just take the money in the second round, play well the first two.
It's
two
be
years
seven, $8 million,
and then re up, and then you're good to go. That's me.
Let me ask you: the number one rule of every NFL player I've ever talked to is forget what they say publicly. Forget it. I want to win. I want to, you know, be an all pro. No, the number one rule is get to the second contract. Get to the second contract. You're getting there quicker, and you got $7 million or $8 million or $9 million in your pocket, and, you know, you're going to be able to bet on yourself, and the market's going to go up.
The difference is your status in the organization is completely different if you are the first or second pick in a draft as opposed to being second-round draft pick. If you are picked that high, the organization is pot committed to you. They got to stick with you through an injury, through whatever you have going on. So I would rather – him wait as opposed to coming out this year.
I think the money is a question we don't know, because in Smitty's point, that makes Tua more money. If he waits a year and goes Second,
but
he's
a year
pick,
further away pick. From his second deal.
Yeah, but look at the difference. Like, Quinton Williams was the number three pick of this year's draft. His total contract was $32.5 million with a $21.5 million signing bonus. The last pick of the first round was N'Keal Harry. He got $10 million total, $5.5 million on his signing bonus. So if you know you're going to be the second pick next year and be the last pick of the first round this year, then I think in the long run you actually come out with more money Smitty's way. The problem
I don't think you do.
The problem is
I really don't think you do.
Guarantee, but
if you're a good quarterback, if you're a good quarterback, that's the important thing. If you're a good quarterback, they're going to pay you before you get to that last year. So that whole second round, first round thing really doesn't come into play.
Yeah, but you have a bad hip.
I think
you know what I'm saying. You got to bet on yourself but by the time you get to that fourth year, you will have that. In this case, $10 million.
My question
and you'll be able to.
Go ahead.
No, my question is what is his recovery time with this injury? What's the projected? Because if he's projected to be healthy by the time the draft comes around, well, he might go in the first round just regardless off of what he's done the past 2 years at at Alabama.
I still think he'll be a first round draft pick, just like Willis McGahee. He was a first round draft pick after tearing his ACL. I think a good team's going to end up drafting him late in the first round and redshirt him. Like, New Orleans is going to have a late first round draft pick. Why wouldn't the Saints draft two attackers?
You know who else is? Yep. And it stands to reason.
I know where you're going to go with this.
Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, I didn't know.
They go from Peyton to Luck to Tua. They're going to sit Tua, play Brissett another year, and then all of a sudden we're going to have to deal with that crap again.
Financially, you can make a case for both of your arguments. I really believe you can make a case either way, and you can build a scenario where your way, OG, comes out better than Smitty's way. I think, Smitty, you can do the same thing where the scenario comes out better. If I'm Tua, I go to the NFL for two reasons. One, I want to work with their doctors. I know Alabama's good, but these guys, you know, the NFL doctors, NFL training staff, I want to rehab with them, and I also want to get 1 year into a system. I hope a really good team drafts me. I hope I'm in a good spot, and I want to learn under a really good quarterback for a season, whether it's, you know, in Indy behind Jacoby Brissett, maybe not the best example, but Tom Brady, New England, Drew Brees, New Orleans, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers saying today he can see the 18th hole of his career, so maybe it's better for Tua just to go into the NFL right now. I still believe he would be a first-round draft pick despite this injury. College Football Committee put out their rankings a couple of days ago, and the big debate right now is OU, Utah. Paul Feinbaum was on Get Up with ESPN with Mike Greenberg and David Pollack, and Feinbaum made his opinion known.
Oklahoma's getting in because, let's be honest, the country does not want to see Utah in the college football playoff. It's Utah. So,
I got news for you. Oklahoma ain't going to be any better.
Well, they may not be any better, but they're going to look a lot better.
Well, so that actually does bring up something you said in the meeting this morning, that whoever gets in at four, you believe, is just in for a beatdown.
Whoever gets in at four, congratulations. You made the college football playoff. You will have no impact on the playoff.
It's Utah. That's exactly how I feel. I share the same opinion with Paul Feinbaum. Oklahoma, by far, to me, is a better team than Utah. I've been begging people on Twitter, right here on Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610, by the way, to tell me why Utah is a better option than Oklahoma. I don't see in any metric, any eye test, any scenario whatsoever that Utah is better than OU. I just don't see it.
I tell you what, JB, I rarely, I mean rarely, agree with Paul Feinbaum.
Well, they're going to say me.
But you got to think about it.
Why do you barely agree with Paul Feinbaum?
I don't know, man. It's just a certain thing about him that's different than me. I just don't like his opinion sometimes.
Yeah. What was that?
I'm just saying, Paul Feinberg, a lot of times he just doesn't say things that I agree with. And so in this case, I do, though. I think he's straight up and down telling the truth that Utah.
He thinks Utah is sneaky fast.
I think a lot of their fans are sneaky fast and try hard, high motor guys. No question about it. And so, yeah, you don't want to put Utah in that college football playoff game. They're going to play against either Ohio State or LSU. They're going to get demolished.
It'll be the men amongst boys. And honestly, who has Utah played?
They played USC.
This week,
they lost.
They played USC with
their third-string quarterback.
I think they're going to get beat by Oregon.
I do too.
But here's the other thing. Utah's not going to make the postseason, the tournament, for no reason on the field. It's because it's freaking Utah. Oklahoma is a national brand, and don't tell me that that's not going to be a bias in their minds, because they do judge it.
And their fans travel.
It's not just metrics and data. It's the actual eye test for the guys on the committee.
Yep.
They're going to say, okay, we got Utah and Oklahoma. They're pretty close. I think we're going to go with Oklahoma, because I view this as television ratings. and no one's going to watch Utah.
But the committee screwed themselves. The committee screwed themselves by not flipping it this week. Now they put themselves in a position where they're going to have to do it next week when it really matters and alienate all those Utah fans. Not that they're worried about opinion, but this was the week to do it. This was the week to do it.
Another side of this would be, though, is that Utah represents the Pac-12 and the entire that side, the left coast of the United States of America. And so you want to have that team in the college football playoffs, so those schools and those
only
states
if it's USC
there,
or UCLA.
Because to me, there's no logical argument besides that some kind of money way that you would put them in there because they don't measure up. And Oklahoma, to me, Baylor, they can actually give one of those teams a game at least going into the second.
They don't
half.
Want Baylor,
Utah.
Baylor,
yeah. They don't want
Baylor. Baylor Utah would be a good game.
Baylor versus Utah?
Baylor versus Utah would be a good game.
That should be a bowl. That should be one of the New Year's Six bowl games.
And I'll be fishing. I mean,
Baylor's going to play against Memphis in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oklahoma has at times shown that they could be the best team in the nation this year. They beat the committee's number 7 team 31-3 after they fell behind 28-3 in Waco. They have shown that their peak can be as high as just about anybody. I think Ohio State's by far the best team in the nation. I think if you saw OU LSU, that could be a shootout. LSU probably wins by a touchdown, but a far more entertaining game for the viewer. The committee chairman, by the way, is the Oregon AD. So just something to keep in mind. The
he'll
Oregon
recuse
AD,
himself, of course.
I hope so. I hope that's the case. LeBron James had a travel last night in the NBA. I don't know if you guys saw
this. Well, he had a vacation.
LeBron, he did. LeBron, by the way, said this after the game on this. It wasn't called, by the way. It was a miscall. The referees did not call this a travel. LeBron James said it was the worst thing, probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. It wasn't called on the floor. That LeBron James travel, I dare to say, was a worse call by the officials than the James Harden blown dunk call.
I thought I was watching James Harden.
That's a good point. That's a really good
point.
It's
the LeBron rules, man. Yeah. I guess LeBron, he gets the benefit of the doubt. But just in general, referees are struggling in all sports.
Yes.
I mean, football, basketball.
Tough to officiate.
Baseball.
They got a safety net.
There has been a struggle with the rules that they set up in place, the actual enforcement of the rules. And a lot of people, because of the cameras these days, everybody's slow-mo, everybody knows and can see now when they're making mistakes. Would y'all want to go back to a time when it was not like that, to where you didn't know, and so then you could enjoy the product more because you just go based off of what you see? Or do you want it and you like it the way it is now?
Well, I think that's what happens in terms of referees nowadays, is that they know that they can always go back and
look. They have a safety net.
They have a safety net of the that third eye in the sky. And so there's less pressure on them. Like, hey, and especially in the NFL, don't even get me started there. It's like, hey, if we mess up, New York will call us and tell us to get the call right and basically give us the call so we don't have to look at you.
I think officiating started going down the minute they started using replay.
So you want to go back, OG?
No, because that it's really a catch-22.
Yeah.
It really is, because you don't want Mike Renfro scoring a touchdown in Pittsburgh that's obvious that, you know, they should review.
Or the tuck rule.
But at the same time, you don't want the games just delayed and bad officiating in general and some calls not being reviewed properly or even reviewed at all. Because they're waiting for the – because they're relying on the it, – it's a true catch-22.
I was looking at this list by the Houston Chronicle today. They rated the best suburbs to live in the city of Houston.
I got some street cred.
17 suburbs. I'm just going to rattle them off 1 through 17. 1, Woodlands, followed by Katy, Sugarland, Pearland, Richmond, Cypress, Friendswood, Clear Lake, Stafford, Missouri City, Kingwood,
Low City, baby.
Jersey Village, Manville, Fulshear, Spring, Humble, and
Humble,
Tomball.
Baby.
You see, I
got some street cred. I'm 16.
16?
Hey, where are y'all on this list?
Most City, babe. Would you say like 12 or something like that?
Most City was 10.
10?
Friendswood, where's that?
Friendswood is...
Oh, you're with the beautiful people.
7.
You're 7.
Okay.
Seven.
So wait, I live what's in... What's number one?
Number one's the Woodlands.
The Woodlands is like a completely different place.
Yeah, it's not even...
So I live in between...
That is a journey.
Where are you?
When people ask me where I live, I say North Spring, South Woodlands. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the average of the two. So I'm going to be right at 8. I'm going to be 8 on this list. Right in the middle.
I'm from the hood, I guess, man. I got number 16, Humble, baby.
Most City, what was that? where were you at?
Most City was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not bad.
I couldn't believe Atascocita was left off this list.
Well, it's in Humble. I actually live in Walden on Lake Houston, but that's in Humble.
I went to Humble High School. That's where I graduated.
Yeah.
16th is pretty low on the list.
That's pretty dang low.
Pretty low on the
list. It's almost like you shouldn't live there.
No, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. I got some street cred, man.
James, Texans, Broncos on Sunday. How do the Texans beat Denver Sunday afternoon?
Hands down, keeping the ball in Deshaun's hands. any time that the Texans have struggled is when the game has been taken away from Deshaun, meaning his ability to improvise, his ability to, you know, throw the ball downfield, and it's been a very controlled, you know, manner. You know, let Deshaun do what he does. Let him move the pocket plays and then continue to play good defense. I think it's crazy when you have injuries how everyone buys in and steps it up a notch but says, hey, let's all do our job to the highest level. And I think that's what we saw Sunday was defense playing lights out. Mm-hmm. Man-to-man coverage, zone coverages, blitz schemes, doing different things, which I love to see. And I think that the Texans blow them out.
Pessimistic way, if Denver wins, how do the Broncos defeat the Texans?
Jeez.
A lot of things.
A lot of turnovers.
Hey, Von Miller's playing. That had to be some big play on defense.
A lot of turnovers. A lot of just, lack of situational awareness by the Texans.
That was the thing I mentioned yesterday was that Von Miller is the guy, the one guy on the Denver Broncos that truly scares me, especially since Tyus
Howard. I mean, he won a Super Bowl by himself, basically. He
can wreck a complete ball game. And so that's the one guy that I think you can fear that could actually cause the Texans a bunch of problems.
And if Von's playing, then you got to rely on your screen game, getting the ball out quick, misdirections, make him have to move his feet rather than just, you know, pin his ear backs and rush the passers.
James, enjoyed it.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
All right, what's going on with our faithful followers from Kitty Academy?
Definitely shout out to all the, you know, in the loopholes, you know, with our Kitty Academy dads. We definitely appreciate the support.
They're all listening when they drop off their kids.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you listening. I appreciate the time, James. We'll talk to you again next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.